Barb asked, are you late or are you early? I wish I knew. This has been a month of a lot of travel for John and I. We took a well-needed vacation. Thank you all for letting us go. I always count that as a privilege, and I'm here to tell you I was very weary, and we did nothing but sleep. We'd go out all day, we'd run around, and then we'd come back and eat dinner and go right to bed. I just was worn out, and it was just a privilege to be able to recover and recuperate. I got back, and then I had a trip planned. There was a Southwest sale, so I went and visited my 92-year-old mother, who still lives on her own, and helped her a little bit around the house, and mostly just spent some time with her. Just one of those things I try to do every year, while it's a huge privilege and a chance I get to do. Then this weekend, we leave for a President's Council. Whenever you are a charitable giver, they try to wine and dine you, and they do that oftentimes by putting you up in a very beautiful hotel, which is really suffering, right? We'll go swim in Phoenix. So I'll think of you when it's snowing. No, I won't. Don't take it personally. But, you know, then they expect you to dress nicely, and we're supposed to actually be an advocate for the agency. Anyway, it's going to be one of those experiences. And then as we looked at our calendar, John had a trip planned for next week, and we're going, wow, our oldest daughter just had her fifth baby boy, and we'd like to go out and meet that baby. We will see the children at Christmas, but Janelle, Amy said, you know, kids really grow a lot in those 3 months. So we thought, okay, let's go directly from Phoenix, so we changed our flight. So I had to pack for this very nice event where you have to dress for dinner and, you know, take the family jewels. We don't, but we that's the type of thing you're supposed to do. And then we're going directly to Amy's farm, which is red clay, and you do not dare take anything decent with you, because if you touch it, you never get that clay out of your clothes. So it was like, wow, this is such a dichotomy. I can hardly handle it. So my talk is normally, I normally take scratch notes, and then I redo it and reformat it. This is my scratch notes, because I'm scrambling, and I'm going to just share with you as it comes to mind. So if it's a little less polished, a little less clear, please do bear with me. I'm going to talk about vocabulary. How do we learn how to do vocabulary? You can meet people, and you're talking with them, and they'll say, you know, like, you know, like, you know. You think, no, I don't know. And you sound very inarticulate. And you think, can you even get a job when you talk that poorly? Probably, but it's probably not a high-level job. I love the fact that Wayne puts up vocabulary words on the screen, and boy, I always read those and think, that is a great word. I don't know if anybody noticed what today's was, but you know, I've noticed that even though I read those and I think that they're interesting, I find that I forget them. And I think that as we think through how do we teach vocabulary, oftentimes it's done through things like that. Lots and lots of repetition. You see the word, you see the definition, and you try to remember for the quiz, right? I don't know that that necessarily works as effectively as I think what the sunlight model does. As you read, and the, you know, and why is vocabulary important? Vocabulary is important because it's on every one of the standardized tests. Think SAT, think ACT. They want to know that you know a lot of words. It's important. I was talking to a sunlight dad, and he mentioned that his kids had just done standardized testing. Thought with trepidation, I said, how'd they do? He said, oh, wow, their vocabulary scores went up 30%. I said, well, now their math scores went down about the same amount. I'm thinking, that's not good. He said, well, it's because we didn't test them on that. And he made a very insightful comment. He said, you know, I think it's easier to bring up kids' tests math scores, because all you do is you do a little bit of training and a little bit of, you know, let me show you the principles of this. Let me explain to you how fractions work. You have to have a common denominator, and that looks like this. And once kids understand it, they can do it. That is not so with vocabulary. As I mentioned, you know, we can study, we can get these quizzes, we can practice and practice and practice, and maybe they stick, but most likely they don't. The best way to increase vocabulary, in my opinion, and it's always my opinion that you get when you're here, is by reading. The disadvantage if you read on your own is you might not know how it's pronounced. You see this word, you know exactly what it means, and you try to use it in conversation, and everybody laughs because you've really scored it wrong. But you know, I think that's a win, Because what happens is you know what the word means. You just need a little tweaking. But you know, that's one other advantage we have at Sunlight where we do read alouds. You know, Mom is modeling how to read all those words. I use this often in some of my talks, but when Janelle was seven, she was a little teeny seven-year-old, she swam on a swim team. And she was, you know, talking to her coach one day, and I happened to be standing there, and he looked at me and he started laughing. I thought, she sounds normal to me. What are you laughing about, you know? So I went to him afterwards. He said, did you hear her vocabulary? This is a seven-year-old. I'm thinking, sounded normal. But it wasn't anything. She had never done a quiz. She had never done a worksheet on vocabulary. She had never practiced vocabulary words, but it was just part of her wharf and woof. Luke was in seventh grade, and the word that captured his imagination was one from David Copperfield, pecuniary, which I'm thinking, there's not too many of us that even know what that is nowadays. But you know, he made a choice of using that in conversation with his friends, because you know what? Makes us look really smart, right?
I was that guy.
Yeah. But you know what? If you used it with your boss, he'd probably be impressed, right? Because he might have to go and look it up. Not this boss, but another boss might. Vocabulary can have impact. It can have influence. It can have a way of expressing ourselves. I often have a chance to interview the Sunlight Scholarship winners. And one of the words I often use when I describe talking with them, they are so articulate. How many high schoolers do you know that you would use that word for? Articulate, able to express themselves clearly, succinctly, wisely, using, you know, not impressive words, but words that communicate effectively. Not one of them did a worksheet. Not one of them took a test on vocabulary. This natural way, this way of just reading together, sitting down, using words as you're going through life, words that maybe you don't even know, but that you can learn as you glean while you read. It doesn't always work. I know spendthrift, I still have trouble with because I can't remember if it's this direction or this one, but I know it deals with money. And I know it has to do with a person's personality traits. So have I gained from that? I think it has. Let me make sure I have covered everything. Sorry, not to be ready. That's basically what I say. The Sunlight model works. So as you're packing boxes and as you have opportunity to pick up books on the shelves, find someone to read. In Luke's household, they have a German staying with them. One of his cousins came from Germany. She's doing a year of English here in the States. And Luke reads a lot of her literature with her. Wow, what a great model. This girl's English is just going to explode as a result of both being in a household, talking, but listening and reading. We too can expand our vocabulary very naturally. Use Wayne's words and say, I saw this in this particular book. But grow and expand in that. Thanks so much.